This is a question from our audience here tonight. Are you in favor of building a six-lane competition swimming pool? And we will start with Steve.
A six-lane competition swimming pool. I believe that we need to do a rec center expansion. I believe that the rec center board and others have looked at the current rec center, and basically it has shown that if we improve the rec center as is, the rec center expansion, it's way more expensive than just building the expansion as a separate building. So we kind of changed the direction of the rec center board to have them look at doing a separate building that may or may not include a swimming pool. So the rec center expansion is being looked at. There's three different versions of the expansion, one that includes a pool connected to the expansion building, one that does not include a pool, and one that is built so that you could add a pool to the rec center expansion. And I think that it's in a stage where there's definite public support for a pool and expanding the rec center. There's a lot of people who have signed a petition at the rec center showing that they support it. So I think as these plans become more well known to the public, we'll do a lot of outreach and really, really see what do the public think. And that's important because in the past, the public voted down a pool. But I think there's still a lot of support for it, so we have to consider every option.
Thank you. Roger, are you in favor of a six-lane competition swimming pool?
I'm in favor of a swimming pool. It's a good form of exercise. There was a day in the past when I lived down in Juneau, I used to swim a mile every day, and yeah, it's a good thing, and I think the community would benefit from it. But having said that, I think what I would want to do, let me make one other comment. When it comes to municipal expenditures, I think that I would be in favor of spending money on those things that are a direct benefit to Skagwegians. And in order of priority, it would be public works, and I'm talking about sewage and water, and then you move on to the amenities, such as a swimming pool. But before I think we did any of those things, I'd want to put a pause on municipal spending. And the reason I say that, I have a perception, and this is somebody from the outside looking in, and I realize there are people on the inside looking out. But in any event, I have a perception that that we have a pretty open checkbook, and any time anybody comes in with a nice idea, we just sit down and write a check, and away we go. Almost to the point that I'd say our spending is... Well, this is a little bit of an overstatement. I'm going to say out of control. We've got a lot of things going on. We've got the Gateway Project. We've got remediation cleanup, which we're on the hook for, and we don't know how much we'll be. And then we've got the Public Works Building, which was voted for $12 million, but might cost $16 million. So, you know, we've got to get a handle on what we're spending before we do anything new.
Thank you. Mark, are you in favor of building a six-lane competition swimming pool?
Well, I think it definitely deserves to be thought about, and I grew up swimming. We don't have one here. It's a quality of life issue and a life safety issue for Alaskans. There's a tremendous need to teach kids to swim. Needs to be supported by the community. Needs to be affordable. We actually manage our money pretty good. We have quite a bit of money in certain funds for the rainy day account. So I think we manage our money very well. We made $1 million in interest last year, and that goes to supporting such things as a community swimming pool, whether it be a six-lane pool or something other. I don't know. It's too early to say that yet. It has been discussed at the table, and we're in the early stages of thinking about that and planning, and all these types of things take a tremendous amount of homework, research, and vetting in the community. So it's not something that's going to happen tomorrow. I think it would be nice to have one for sure.
Thank you. Jay, are you in favor of building a 6-lane competition swimming pool?
Yes, I am. I've sat in on a few of the rec center meetings and discussions about pool sizes and what to look at for a pool for Skagway, and when it was pretty much right down to the bare essentials, nobody really seemed to want a great big water park or water slides, all that kind of stuff. They just wanted a basic pool. And when you're looking at a 4-lane or a 6-lane pool, that's something that the kids could actually have swim teams. People could come here in the winter. It would be a little boost to the economy, having different teams from Juneau, from Whitehorse. I actually can't swim, and I would love to learn how to swim. I've always wanted to and have gone in a pool a few times, but I would really like to see a pool here so that my boys can learn how to swim. And there's one of them. And if given the opportunity and it's fiscally sound, then yes, I would definitely be for a 6-lane competition pool.
Thank you. Mavis, are you in favor of building a 6-lane competition swimming pool?
I think that's on our dream list. Recreation can be economic development. I found that out going to a convention down south. On my goals are a golf course, a tennis court, and a swimming pool. But I find that far down the line, swimming pools are very expensive to maintain. And I had Jay's problem when I raised my kids in Ketchikan. I sent them to summer camp. They learned to swim. They also lost a lot of extra weight, partly because they misbehaved and ran around a football field. And so my son spent the whole summer running around a football field or swimming. But he came home skinnier and happier. I believe in making recreation one of the economic development things and a goal for a swimming pool. However, get back to the whole idea of sitting down and making a plan. We don't have a long-term plan in this community, and we need it.
Thank you. This one's for Jay. What role, if any, should the municipality play in dealing with Skagway's summer housing shortage?
Well, as far as I can tell, the summer housing shortage, I would think the municipality should continue with the Garden City RV park, to put an RV park out across the river wherever there's space for it, so that it can free up the burden on the two that are operating now. Possibly a little bit of work in planning and zoning, changing some codes and or easing some up about the sizes of homes and rental units, maybe allowing some tiny homes, and that's about what I would say about that.
Thank you. Mark, what role, if any, should the municipality play in dealing with Skagway's summer housing shortage?
Well, good question. This is something that's been identified in the community already. We've certainly been giving it thought at the table. Jay mentioned one of the things we did was to purchase Garden City RV, which is two city blocks, and our motivation was to get the RV park out of there and move it and return that land to potential residential property. That was very specific why we bought that. And that could open up some property in the community, in the town site, rather than land sales we've done at other places like out along Dyee Road, Naku Point. We just did a land sale here recently, and it was very successful. We'd like to do more. Those are all real investments in the community, and it solves some of the housing problem. We recognize the housing problem. Available housing is something we need to continue working on. I've encouraged planning and zoning to look at some ways to work on some of that stuff, and recently they were looking at, maybe people have seen it on TV, tiny homes. So how can we create more space on property people already have? So planning and zoning's recently been working on that, and they have some really good ideas. They had a work session here a few days ago, and we'll see what they bring forward to the table. But definitely we'd like to get people out of RVs and out of tents and have more suitable places to live. It's been a problem as long as I've lived in Skagway, and that's a 37 years. So it's we're working on it, and we're coming up little bits at a time.
Thank you. Roger, what role, if any, should the municipality play in dealing with Skagway's summer housing shortage?
Well, I think the municipality could take a really strong role in this. And I'm aware of the land sales that have been done out in Long Bay and all that. And I think they're very well-intentioned and successful. As Mark said, yes, we sold the land. But unfortunately, the part of that is by the time you buy the land, you really don't have the money to build on it. And so it's, unless you just do it piecemeal, you know, buy a 2x4 and go nail it up, and so you go. So what I would like to see to get to this problem would be perhaps a program of tax incentives on the part of the city that would induce, and this would have to be a private enterprise effort, not a government program, all right? That has to be the bottom line. But tax incentives so that builders and contractors would have to build housing that young families could live in. And the other part of the program that the municipality could throw into that would be land availability. And for example, as Mark mentioned, we bought Garden City RV Park, and housing was, as I understand it, one of the long-term objectives of that. So I think it would be possible, and you'd have to get real estate professionals together to sort this all out. And, this is a layman talking, not a real estate professional. But I think you could come up with a program where that land could be available for the construction of a specific type of a home, but you wouldn't have to purchase the land to build the home. And as an example, I would ask folks to go take a look at Google Pocket Neighborhoods. And I've seen one of these developments in the Seattle area, I think it was near Bellevue, and it's really impressive. They're small homes, small lots, one-lane streets, but they are very inviting and they're very comfortable, and I think young people could raise a family here. And the other part of it at the end of the generational spectrum is senior citizens, older folks, and they need a place to live, and this is a place where they could live comfortably in a neighborhood. So I would really be in favor of pursuing something like this, and in my mind, it would be if I were elected mayor, it would be a very high priority.
Thank you. Mavis, what role, if any, should the municipality play in dealing with Skagway's summer housing shortage?
Well, it's been, I've been thinking about it, and of course, I also have a son that's an appraiser. And I think that when we make some of our decisions, we should look at the highest and best use of then I try to think of how people in my family have dealt with it, basically buying condos. So pocket houses and condos seem to be a very good idea. But again, it's going and investigating some ideas that I don't feel the community has. And you better know that to be affordable, it pretty much has to be on the flat of the land. Building on the mountainside is expensive. And then when it's expensive to buy the land in the first place, you're really in trouble. You have to put in your own septic tanks, your own water, or haul it. And I know my son in Juneau hauled his water for a long time, and that gets to be a pretty much of a drag. And down there, they've even tried getting water from the roof. Skagway's not a good place for that because we don't have the precipitation. It is a problem that we need to face, and we need to talk about and get ideas and work on as a community.
Thank you. And Steve is next.
So the municipality has been doing some work in this area. I think depending who you are, you would say that the municipality hasn't done enough or they've done too much. But in any case, as has been mentioned, we did purchase Garden City RV, and the idea was to eventually open those properties up for sale for housing. At that time, the assembly did have discussions about different ways of facilitating young families to afford these, and one of the things that was discussed is potentially allowing them to build certain styles of houses without purchasing the property, but rather, you know, renting the property from the municipality or some other arrangement. And those things have to be, you know, vetted by planning and zoning. And if we decide to go that route, then we would have to add them to code because currently it doesn't have any provision for that. And there's numerous examples in Juneau that do that exact model. The municipality has also, on the assembly level, discussed public works. They have various properties around town. They're kind of spread out, and long term, we've sort of been discussing moving the public works facility out to the 15 acres across from the Dye Road, east of the Dye Road. And that would free up a lot of these properties around the town site. And eventually those could be utilized to, you know, add more property tax to the books and allow for extra housing. We've also done the NACU land sales, and we need to continue doing those land sales and just looking at, you know, how are our uses in, as far as municipal property goes, can we do anything to expand these? We also have to keep a good eye on the RV park, because as far as those uses go, if we eliminate the RV parks, we have to have RV parks, because more RV parks, as you know, a lot of the summer seasonals camp or stay in RVs, and so we can't just eliminate them without providing an option for those people. So there's a lot of planning. I'd like to see planning and zoning get even more involved than they currently are in it, as far as planning what these uses are.
Thank you. We are already over the allotted time, so this will be the last question. And we'll start with Roger. How can public input in the Skagway Borough decision-making process be improved?
Well, it's like with a White Pass lease. How much time do I have? It needs a lot of improvement. You know, and I guess the best example is that, you know, I've been watching this White Pass lease for about the past year and a half, and when it comes to the assembly and discussions with this lease, it's been like talking to a wall, you know, and I ended up doing quite a few letters to the editor and that sort of thing, because quite frankly, I felt at least that way I could talk to the people who are out here. This mayor and assembly, that was a waste of time. I've gone to meetings. I've gone to a number of meetings. I've listened to them. I've testified at them and written letters, and it's all been to absolutely no avail whatsoever. And I realize that the main problem is that I wasn't singing the company song, so to speak. But to get to the question directly is, I think that the mayor and the assembly have got an absolute duty to take the observations and comments and input from citizens and interested parties to heart. There is not a difference between the public comment process and the public decision-making process. It's all part of the same. Everybody has a unique perspective. Everybody has a valuable perspective, and everybody has something to contribute. I don't have all the answers. If I'm elected mayor, I don't have all the answers, and I'm looking to you folks to provide some of the input. Give me some solutions. All right. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to tell me what you think our best solution is for a given problem, whether it's West Creek or whether it's the Tidelands lease or whether it's a swimming pool. This is not my decision to make. This is for you to come in and say, this is what we need and this is why we need it, and then we can get a dialogue going. Whether it's in assembly chambers or whether it's in committees, the process all works the same, or if it's the environmental impact statement up here for West Creek, it's citizen input. I think and I think here in Skagway, things have gotten completely twisted around, all right? As a government person, if I'm elected mayor or I work for the Federal Civil Service for a number of years, all right? As a government person, I work for you. You don't work for me, okay? I'm accountable to you. You're not accountable to me. So when you have something to say, I have to listen. I may not be able to fix your problem, but I will definitely do what I can to meet the need. And that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Roger.
You bet.
Mavis, how can public input in the Skagway Borough decision-making process be improved?
Well, public input is very good, and usually you'll come up with some good suggestions for problems. I do feel that the council doesn't listen at the council meetings. Not listening to me one time cost the city over $10,000. But I think that public input is very important. I have lots of ideas. I think a lot about this community and ideas to improve it. But I think if you put a bunch of ideas out there and start mulling them over, we'll come up with some good solutions. But it's going to take all of us.
Thank you. Jay, how can public input in Skagway Borough decision-making processes be improved?
Well, it pretty much, as far as I can see, it's all about public input. The public, like was stated before, we work for the public when we're in an elected office or in planning and zoning or anywhere else. I would say, come and talk to us individually if you don't like talking in front of a big crowd, because I have that problem. I would say maybe a suggestion box, just something that simple to be able to drop off just a note that might give a good idea to someone. Come to the assembly meetings. Go out and vote. I know there's going to be, or it's been said, there's going to be an exit poll. Come and vote and put in your opinions in the exit poll.
Thank you.
Thank you. By adding more committee meetings, I believe we'll add more opportunity for the public to interact with elected officials. We currently, a lot of public, they come and they speak at assembly meetings. And that's a situation where it's not a question and answer. And so by Robert's rules, as a sense we're kind of held to just listen to what the public has to say, and we can't necessarily respond in an immediate sort of fashion. And I think that there's ways to improve that, at least by, you know, having some sort of route for the assembly members or mayor to respond to the public after a meeting or in writing, or direct them to the correct avenue to get a response to them. Those things are important, but committee meetings are we don't have an active public in regard to attendance at committee meetings, and I think some of that is when those committee meetings are scheduled, you know, whether they be in the morning while a lot of the people are at work. Sometimes they're at night during other events, and so just trying to arrange for more committee meetings in areas and times when people are available, and getting the word out that there's a meeting and what is going to be discussed at that meeting, on Facebook, on the radio, in the newspaper, you know, maybe more earlier notifications that those meetings are going to occur. I think that'll help. The municipal website needs streamlining and department-wide streamlining, so it'll allow better access to public information. I personally am available on phone, email, Facebook message, so if anybody has a question, they can contact me. I don't know that all that information is on the municipal website. It should be. It's really important that the public knows we are there to represent them, and that they have avenues available to them to get a hold of us. And I would add that, you know, the assembly members could also have office hours, just as the mayor currently has office hours. And so, if the public knew we were going to be available during certain times at City Hall, then maybe they would go talk one-on-one to each assembly member, and I think that might help as well.
Thank you. Mark, how can public input in the Skagway Borough decision-making process be improved?
Well, I guess just encourage public participation. We do our business, you know, as we're supposed to, by publishing, you know, our meeting times for whether it's assembly meetings or committee meetings. We all have email contacts. We all have phones. All these methods are out there. I regularly do office hours, and I regularly only have certain people come and ever talk to me about issues in the community. There are certain people who will, via any of the things I said, email or phone or office hours. A term was recently used last meeting by an assembly member that was frustrated because the term he used was attendance deficit. And people have to commit to come in and talk to us. It's we're there. We're there for people. We'll hear a large amount of opinion sometimes, and other times you don't get anything, and it's just a matter of who's interested in saying what about something. So, you know, we're open, we're welcome, and you know, people give us their ideas, but they have to come to meetings. So if you're interested, please do show up.
Thank you, Mark. So we'll move on to closing remarks. Mavis, you're up first.
Move on to what?
Closing remarks.
Okay. I just want to see our town grow, and do it in the right way. And I live here because I love it here. I've thought of moving, and that doesn't work either. I do think that we can build a community together and diversify our economy and but we have to work together. And when Tom was mayor, we sometimes took the Friday night dinners to discuss things. The idea of town meeting is should be considered. It's hard in the council meeting because there's no conversation back and forth. The regular town meeting probably should happen periodically for the communication. But no, my whole interest is to see we have a good community. And that's it.
Thank you. Jay, any closing remarks?
I'd just like to say thank you all for coming out. Please go vote. And that's about it.
Thank you. Steve's up next.
Okay, thank you everyone for coming to this forum to, hear and meet Assembly and Mayor candidates. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person, and thank you to KHNS and Gary Hansen for arranging for me to be available on the phone. It's somewhat inconvenient, but in any case, I'm glad I was able to participate. I think it's extremely important that the elected officials represent the people impartially, and we do that by oath. And I think taking steps to allow for increased openness and accountability and honesty will help, the public whenever possible. We can build and maintain a more transparent government. I think that's a lot of the issues we've been having over the last 3 months is just general confusion because we're not getting the word out, in the proper manner. And I think we can make that better. I haven't got an opportunity to say, but I'm super committed to concluding the design of our recycling and composting projects. And it's a long-term plan. It's not going to happen overnight, and I've been working on it for 4 years now. We're really close to getting a design team to kind of plan out the 15 acres property, and I think that it's crucial for us to increase the efficiency of our solid waste and garbage program, and recycling and compost will play a big part in increasing that efficiency. So thank you everyone for coming.
Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, I'll echo the thank you for coming, and there's a great turnout here tonight. We don't always see this many people at assembly meetings. It'd be nice. Please get involved. Come down. Talk to us. We're always receptive to that. There's a tremendous amount of things on the go with the municipality and a lot of business going on, all stuff that's important to the quality of life. As a friend of mine said, why wouldn't people want to live here? Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to be. We have a great community. And we should keep it that way. And I think the government body does just that, or at least tries to do just that. Just keep it a good place to be. And thanks, everybody, for coming down.
Thank you. Roger?
Yeah, thank you. And a couple things I'd like to go back to before my closing remarks about earlier questions. And on air quality at West Creek, and I think it needs to be mentioned that for the past several years, White Pass has been rebuilding their locomotives. And when you look at air quality here in Skagway, I think having done that, that has really resulted in a substantial improvement in the quality of air. And I need to thank the White Pass folks and White Pass management for embarking on that program. I appreciate it. On the public involvement, public participation section, one of the assembly members makes that a rather intimidating experience. And if you say something that he doesn't like, then you tend to be interrupted and berated and ridiculed and things like that. And so that kind of tells people that we really don't want to hear what you have to say. Having said that, I believe in good government. Good government encourages diverse opinions and lively dialogue on all issues of public concern. And good government works for all, not a select few. And I would be a mayor, if I'm elected, who has the common sense to ensure that public processes are not tainted by unethical conduct. Leaders show the way by setting an example, not by finding loopholes. I would be a mayor who will ensure that citizens can address the assembly and not be interrupted, ridiculed, or insulted. Citizens must be able to speak their minds without fear of retribution. Skagway is at a fork in the road. With this election, we will establish the course of our community for the foreseeable future. It is impossible to overstate the significance of this moment. Think about what has been said this evening, and then exercise the power of your ballot on October 6th, and use that power thoughtfully, not fearfully. Vote for public interest, not for self-interest. And like the other folks here said, I really appreciate you all turning out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I want to thank the candidates very much for your time. We really appreciate you coming out tonight, and thank you all for joining us. This will air on KHNS on Wednesday at 7 p.m. and again Thursday at 10 a.m. if you just didn't get enough, or you can tell your friends to listen in. And I also wanted to let you know that we'll be doing an interview with Dave Brenner, who's not available to come tonight, and that will air this week on KHNS. You can check that out on our website, too. A full version of this audio form will be available at khns.org. Voting, election day is October 6th. Voting happens from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. So thank you all for coming out.